Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. False doctrines among us, and the sources from which they come. There have been few lessons that I've preached through the years that has aroused more response, both positive and negative, than the one I want to present to you now. Liberals just go bananas when they are exposed, but faithful brethren support the exposure of error. This is a lesson that really calls for taking sides. Now, friend, I take my responsibility as a preacher very seriously, as do many other preachers. The warning from the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 20, it rings in our ears. My duty is to God and to the truth and to myself and to those that hear me. I am compelled by love and duty to sometimes bring to light that which is not always pleasant. And we should not just go along anyway with whatever comes down the track. The truth and the Lord's church is under vicious attack from within as well as those from without. There are those who truly are no longer of us, but they stay among us in order to take others their way. It is not unfair to say that they do much of this by misrepresentations and just outright lies and ridicule and false doctrines, and they make no real effort to defend but only proclaim their false ways. Now, they cannot destroy the church, but they cause much havoc and division, and many souls will be lost because of what they are doing. And what they do is not done in a corner, but by public publications and speeches before thousands, through the colleges and other means. And it would be impossible to refute all of their attacks in this one lesson. But fortunately, more and more material is being produced to convict the gainsayer. It is wrong to contend, as Rubel Shelley does, that knowledgeable and sincere devout Christians are in all the denominations. Some would make the church, you see, just another denomination acceptable to denominations. And how can one claim to be a Christian when he's not even obeyed the gospel? And how can one claim to be a knowledgeable Christian while serving in some human denomination of which we don't read in the Bible? This goes unexplained. But the proclamation is made anyway. Friend, is instrumental music just a matter of opinion, as liberals say? Is the doctrine of premillennialism just a matter of opinion? Even though it refutes prophecy, it denies the kingdom, it makes Christ a false prophet, that doctrine invalidates the scripture. Does that matter to you? Doctrines regarding marriage, divorce, and remarriage, they are abundant. Some teach, regardless of the moral state, that God's grace will cover it, even though those involved never repent and they never leave their sinful condition. They call this compassion for the divorced. But friend, the family is in crisis in our land. But doctrines that accommodate sin, they do not help. An appeal to emotion rather than truth is widely heard from the mouths of the liberals. Some teach that you do not even have to know the purpose of baptism and can still be properly baptized. Just do it to obey God, they say. Isn't it strange how Paul found some in Acts chapter 19 who had been wrongly baptized, and they had done so intending to obey God? Did he tell them that all was well anyway, or did he baptize them properly? Read the scripture, you'll see what he did. Baptism must be connected with the authority of Christ. It's for the remission of sins. It's necessary for salvation, or some equivalent concept. Not just anything is going to be all right. We need to obey from the heart. We need to understand what we are doing. And some liberals say the church is not the kingdom. Some say it was begun in the days of John the Baptist. Some claim that there are many in the kingdom who are not in the church. Some say the kingdom is not yet come, but that it will come when Jesus returns, and that we should pray that it will happen. To them, you see, the kingdom was not established on Pentecost, like the Bible teaches, and the church is rather called a big sick denomination, as was preached from the pulpit of the church that conducted the Herald of Truth. And that church, by the way, has ceased the oversight of that program, and that is now an altogether a business corporation. How do you like this suggestion? Let the preacher or some elder arise before the Lord's Supper and absolve the congregation of sins before partaking of it. Now, to absolve means to declare free from sin and its consequences. I ask you, what man has such power? Do these false teachers really think they have the power to do that? And by the way, have you heard that 95% of our gospel preachers are guilty of incest? Have you heard that conservative churches foster incest? Now, this is charged because the Lord's people still teach the truth regarding the husband being the head of the house. And that aggravates the liberals because they've adopted the God-hating feminist doctrines. Well, who would make such a charge as that? Well, a man named Gale Napier did, on the David Lipscomb University lectureship campus, and it was widely reported in the nation's newspapers. Some people see him as an expert on family matters, too. While for months he denied saying it, he finally admitted he did. And later in Texas, he said that if you denied his charge, you're probably guilty of incest. What a great lover of the Lord's people. The only thing is, he forgot to give his evidence. And we wonder, when this blasphemous attack was made against gospel preachers, where were the leaders of David Lipscomb University, except condoning it and continually using him, and otherwise bashing those who resented his reprehensible comments? You see, these people are not to be questioned for what they say, according to them. If they say it, why, that is all that is necessary, and everybody simply ought to accept it. Well, some of us simply don't do that. Over and over, we hear former brethren still claiming to be of the church teach that salvation is by grace alone. Rubel Shelley has said, "You do not contribute one whit to your salvation." Well, out goes the need for obedience. Just leave it all up to God. And now we hear the New Testament is not a pattern, that it's just a love letter from God to His people, that it was not intended to be our guide. And to claim otherwise is what they call pattern theology. Well, with what do we replace the Bible, except the proclamations of these liberal experts? Now, I never heard before that faith, repentance, confession, and baptism is just playing a silly game. But that's what it is said to be now. I learned from Scripture that this is what one must do to be forgiven of sins. Such sacrilege and ridicule of things holy. Friend, do you condone that? Do you support those who do condone that? Are you willing to fellowship those who teach that way? One who once preached the old paths for years has asked, "Old paths? What's that?" It makes you wonder. When does the matter of intellectual honesty ever come into play with liberals? This man preached it once. He has since renounced it, of course, but now he acts like he never heard of it. These false teachers tell us they're not interested in what is called the Restoration Movement. Now, they once were. They still are interested in it because they're always talking about the various so-called branches of the Restoration Movement. That includes the Christian Church, the Disciples of Christ, the Independent Christian Church, some so-called Churches of Christ. They readily fellowship both these denominations as well as other denominations. The Churches of Christ interested in following the New Testament pattern is the least desirable of all of that which has come from the Restoration Movement. To them, one church is just as good as another. Now, friend, I'm not interested in the Restoration Movement per se as a new human movement. It is something worthwhile because it is an effort to restore New Testament Christianity according to Thus Saith the Lord. That is proper. But what they mean is that they're not concerned with the church of the New Testament. They are concerned with a changed church, which they say is relevant for today. They charge the churches of Christ were born in this Restoration Movement. Friend, that is biblically and historically false. The churches of Christ had beginning on Pentecost. And that is the church in which we're interested. That's the church to which we belong. Now, they're not interested in that anymore. They do not want to produce the church of the first century, and we wonder why not. After all, it was built by Christ. It was guided by the Holy Spirit through the apostles. It was right. Oh, yes, there were members who got out of line, but that does not impugn the Lord and His church. If not concerned with the New Testament church, which church is of interest to these liberals? It seems the only church they want is one that they can control and direct, leaving everything flexible enough to include whatever anybody might want. And you will hear about them at their summit meetings and their scholarship seminars, and these sessions are nothing more than just compromising sessions of the self-proclaimed elite. And we wonder, did Matthew only write his book from what he remembered? Why, that's what some of them say. Is it true that we cannot understand the Bible alike? That's what some of them say. And certainly there is a mark on them because of their love for the modern perversions which teach all kind of doctrines. And oh, how they hate the King James Version especially, because it does not allow what they teach and what they do. Their so-called Bibles will teach miracles still being performed today, teach faith only, teach inherited depravity. They're nothing more than just commentaries, and not reliable commentaries anyway, following the so-called thought inspiration fallacy, and the New International Version is particularly their book. They contend this generation must restructure the church for the baby boomers. There's got to be fun and excitement and clapping and jivey music. You've got to turn the worship into a holy wow. That's what Shelley said the worship should be, a holy wow. Away with this dull and stuffy worship that we now offer to God, even though it's authorized of Scripture. And promoted heavily among them are such things as choirs, and these voice bands that sound like instrumental music, like a cappella, having special music. And they use instrumental music in joint services with denominations. They turn the worship into entertainment. They have their solos and their quartets. And some have even gone so far as to contend there's no authority for congregational singing. You just do whatever makes you feel good. And quite naturally, being on the liberal wavelength, they approve of women in leadership roles in spite of 1 Timothy 2 and verse 12 through 14. That's a passage they just dismiss as being cultural and not for today. They dismiss it as being irrelevant. And use of proof text? Why, that's ridiculed. It's called scissors and paste theology. You see, to them, you cite book, chapter, and verse for what you teach. That's legalism. And some even claim that the church never has existed except in the mind of God. They say there are no identifying marks of the church. You can't tell what the church is or who the church is. You see, they're not really concerned about the church. They're concerned with what they call a relationship with Jesus, whatever that's supposed to mean. And they're willing to be guided wherever the Holy Spirit leads me in some direct feel-good fashion. You can now separate Christ from the church, according to them. And religious success by them is measured by finances and numbers. And whether or not you're accepted by the religious world, the influence that they have in the community, truth and soundness is no more a reliable measure. And they say that elders have no authority. Men of the past who preached thus saith the Lord, they are ridiculed because they were not scholars. They did not have their arbitrarily determined degrees from the denominational seminaries. Prominently taught and given sympathy are the false doctrines of evolution. We must develop, they say, a new hermeneutic, a way of reinterpreting the Bible that would exclude commands and examples and implications and inferences and explicit and implicit statements. Their approach to Scripture is entirely subjective, which simply means make it mean whatever you want it to mean for yourself. And we're admonished. Get off of Acts. Plug into the real power. Plug into Jesus that you read about in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Friend, do you believe that that is the way that Jesus Christ would have us to understand Scripture? Well, false doctrines being taught could be listed on and on, but this will suffice to illustrate the kind of things that are being heard. Who, that were once among us, would be doing this kind of heretical teaching? Now, we are told that changes are coming. we're told that nothing we can do about it. And the truth is, friend, apostasy is coming. In fact, it's already come in many places. Will those who follow the Scriptures be left in the dust, as liberals say, and as liberals hope? Friend, if I was preaching and told my hearers that there was a rattlesnake in the parking lot, and I knew exactly where he was, but said that they have to find that out for themselves, lest I offend the snake and possibly some of his fellows, you would consider me very inconsiderate. Why should not those who spew this religious venom in the church be identified? Christ and the apostles identified false people. Were they wrong in doing so? Now, not all of the people we cite who teach false doctrines teach all of the false doctrines, but all of them teach one or more of them. And they all fellowship together and run in the same circles, and they all endorse each other. And you read 2 John 9-11 and see if what you teach and what you hold and what you support and what you fellowship makes any difference. And from their lectures, their sermons, their publications, their tapes, their papers, their books, their bulletins, their letters, their conversations, their articles, their positions are well documented. These things have not been taught in a corner. Many brethren know about them. In fact, there are many brethren who are far better informed about all of this than I. The now defunct Jubilee of Nashville was a leading force in this heresy. Specific names connected with Jubilee: Rubel Shelley of the Woodmont Hills Church, and Steve Flatt when he was at the Madison Church, and Walt Lever when he was at the Antioch Church, and Randall Harris when he was at the Donaldson Church, and John Clayton of South Bend, and Gail Napier of Harpeth Hills, and Max Licato of Texas, and several writers on the Abilene Christian University staff, and Harold Haslip, who was then president of David Lipscomb University, and Calvin Walpoler, who was one of the promoters of the Herald of Truth and Once a Good Program, Upreach Magazine, Image, Wineskin, some of these magazines are no longer being published, Marvin Phillips and the Tulsa Workshop, and Jim Woodruff, the author of that book, Church in Transition, various faculty members at Hardin University, like Jimmy Allen, and like the Christian Chronicle promoted by the Oklahoma Christian School. Why, these are but a few of the leaders in this Change the Church movement. I hope that none of the liberals are offended by me omitting their name. But such people are everywhere. They're in force, and they're backed by moneyed people. And, friend, they are determined to make havoc of the Lord's church and to change it to their pattern rather than the New Testament. They are liberals, right out of modernism, although they would like to deny it. There are many imitators of these outspoken leaders of digression also. They've been trained in our so-called Christian schools, which schools are probably the worst enemies of the church in our day. And, friend, if you do not agree with them and what they're saying, if you don't play dead, if you don't allow them to have their own way, listen to what they say about you. You're a legalist. You're a neo-Nazi. You're a member of the religious mafia. You're a vulture. You're a hitman. You're a knucklehead. You're unloving and unscholarly. You're a right-winger. You're a traditionalist. You're even a spiritual dinosaur. Oh, to be loved by a liberal. They are so sweet and kind and ironic. And should you write one of them, you probably won't even get an answer, or you'll get one that tells you how unqualified you are to question them. Like one has said, "You don't have a right to question me. Where did you get your Ph.D.?" Yes, they've been challenged by competent and knowledgeable people over and over again. But somehow the cat's got their tongue when it comes to defending their false doctrines. They have divided the church. They've stolen facilities. They've created a new denomination. They've led many into apostasy. They've cast their spear into the side of the church, the Lord's body. And, friend, they'll do it where you attend also, unless brethren become aware and are on guard. Their tentacles reach out through their relatives, through young people who have been brainwashed by them at the schools, through their youth directors, and through the self-proclaimed intellectually elite, and others who are sympathetic with such errors, who are so well-versed in denominational errors. Oh, I didn't know, wail some brethren. You just wonder where some brethren have been. I guess we need to tell them that Franklin Roosevelt is no longer president. They seem to be that far behind in almost everything. They fail to keep up. They fail to be alert. Friend, this is no new thing. It's been going on 2, 3, 4 decades. But the fruits of it are glaringly disruptive today. Some elders would not identify a wolf if he was howling at the front door. And why? Why, brethren in many places know, they have known, and all of us can know, but there must be a will to know. How many prefer to remain ignorant? Peace and acceptance is their watchword rather than the truth. Ephesians 5 and verse 11 forbids fellowship with such. Do we have them to teach in our classes? Do we go to their programs? Do we just wink at their intrusions? Romans 16 and 17 says to mark them and to avoid them. 2 John 9 through 11 prohibits forbidding them Godspeed. Who will obey the Lord? You know, when Jeremiah saw the miserable state of Jerusalem, it is written, "Is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by?" Lamentation 1 and verse 12. Do the liberal digressives fostered on the church by these heretics, does that mean anything to you? Now, whether this generation will be spared or not, who can tell? Many have already left their first love. But we must preach the word and not be content with ignorance. And as we warn, let us work to win souls to the salvation of their souls through Christ. Let us rise up and build. We have no room for the doctrines of men and their theologies, or just making people feel good while remaining in their sins, the pseudo-scholarship and the psychology of leftists. We must resist their influence, and we must stand fast at all costs, resisting any and all who give quarter to error, whether friend or foe or family, regardless of their fame or fortune or finances. We must stand in the gap. In Esther 4 and verse 4, Mordecai asked Esther, "Who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, be glad that you live in the midst of this struggle, so that you can give your all to the preservation of the remnant and keep the flame of truth burning bright in the midst of the storms of heresy. As Joshua challenged, "Choose you this day whom you will serve." Joshua 24:15. And then Joshua added, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And as Paul said in Acts 20 and verse 32, "And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified." This has been A Burning Fire, and your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.